In this symposium, we have two sessions. One is a oral presentation. We have seven presentations plus poster section, which have a nine poster presentation. For the oral presentation, we have two invited speakers. Dr. Tim Lapra from the University of Minnesota. He's from civil environmental engineering. He did extended work on the antibiotic genes flow in the wastewater treatment plant. So I really like the work. Also, we have another invited speaker, Dr. Jen Hotel. Then she and Xuan Li did a good job on the also a very excellent job on the antibiotics and antibiotic resistance in the soils amendment with animal manure. When I read their papers, I really say, gosh, I should invite them come over to give a talk. Then one interesting in the poster section, we probably have the most young talented scientist in the society. She will present in the poster section. She's a senior this year in the high school. She has published two papers in the Journal of Environmental Quality. This year, she just received the Siemens Competition of Science, Math and Technology Program, a finalist on the national level. So she did a really good job. Her name is Maria Grimmett. So come over to the post section, then you will find her and talk to her. So she's a really talented student. Or I call the young scientist. With that, I'm going to start introduce myself. My name is Hui Li. I'm an associate professor of soil and environmental chemistry at Michigan State. Other co-authors, So Yu Xian is a PhD student in my lab. Inji is a postdoc. Wei Zheng and Steve Boyd are the faculty members in the Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences at Michigan State. So what I'm going to do is talk about how dissolved organic matter influence tetracycline bioavailability to the bacteria in terms of the expression of antibiotic resistance. The first I come out, why tetracycline? I will say that tetracycline are the largest family of the antibiotics used in the livestock production. You know, tetracycline family antibiotic families, they include tetracycline itself, chlorotetracycline, oxytetracycline, plus some others. So they have heavily used for the humans, also the animals, since their discovery in the 1940s. Currently, tetracycline are primarily used in the animal feeding operation, mostly at several pounds of antibiotics into animal feeds. So which is at the subtherapeutic level. The purpose are try to enhance the feeding efficiency, promote the growth, then also help on the animal health. So in terms of amount of tetracycline used, I will say this data come out from the Animal Health Institute and FDA. So with the in the year of the 2013, the amount of tetracycline itself is about 6.5 million kilograms. That's in the animal feeding operation. So there are several pathways for antibiotics getting into the environment. The first one I just talked about using the livestock feeding operation. I will talk more about it. So let's get into the animal manure. Then after a short time storage, usually 3 months to 6 months, then land applied animal manure as the soil fertilizer. Then this antibiotic could get into water, also the soil and water. So used for the humans, get into a wastewater treatment plant. Wastewater treatment plant, the process is designed to remove nitrogen and phosphate. It's not specifically for the antibiotics. So we did some studies in several wastewater treatment plants in Michigan. Then what we found out about, like for the tetracyclines, about 50% of tetracycline will be removed. Then another half will end in the biosolids, or you can call it sludge, and also influent. So this will get into the land applied by solid or sludge will get in the soil, also influent will get in the water. So and tetracycline also in the used in the aquaculture, which is a mix of antibiotics with animal feeds. They spread this fish feed. They spread this into the pond. So that's directly get into the pond or water. Another pathway I didn't write down that here. So for some orchard trees, people also spread oxytetracycline, really high concentration, sometimes to 100 ppm, which is a milligram per liter, on these orchard trees to control the bacteria. So even sometimes people call this, still called organic farming, if, you know, tetracycline or this antibiotics that is included in the organic farming, they still call this organic farming. The business process is always like antibiotics or getting the soil and water. So if we specifically look at the tetracycline used in the animal feeding operation, the literature showing about like 60 to 90% of tetracycline will be released into animal waste. So after the six months storage, a lot of antibiotics, tetracycline will still remain there. So if we, based on this estimate that in the year of the 2013, about 3.9 to 5.9 millikilogram of tetracycline will released into the environment, just simply from animal feeding operation. So that's what contains the soil and water. So what's the concern about this? So the major concern is about the development of antibiotic resistant genes. So this study by the Telap et al. Published in the year of the 2010, what they did is look at the five soils, then five sites, and look at the increase of antibiotic resistant abundancy start from 1940 to the 2008. So the soil samples they get like before is not used for the antibiotic resistance. They mostly like save this soil. It's not that clear here. That's 1940. It's not like for the antibiotic resistance research. They're just for the soil fertilizer. Like stock these soils there. Then they take these soil samples out, measure the antibiotic resistance in these soils. So if we look at the tetracyclines, you can see this antibiotic resistant abundance increased exponentially. So that's a 1940, really minimal. At that time, we don't have the tetracycline on the market. Some background, then with the time, you can see that's increased. So since like the 1970 to the 2000, this abundance increased about 8 to 15 times. So if we have this, this could be a potential problem, caused a lot of attention recently at a global level. So other studies like the Chi Sanfield, they sampled like the animal manure, then also look at this tetracycline with the genes, the downstream of animal feeding operation. They saw all these resistant genes there, also in the groundwater. So for the Smith et al., they found this tetracycline resistances in all samples they collected from animal lagoon, waste lagoon. And for some studies by the Pei and Amy Pudding, they found out for some environment, if the soil, like without the, couldn't find the tetracycline, the antibiotic resistant genes abundance is relatively low. So for the tetracycline, if the sites have a tetracycline contamination, the antibiotic resistance was about several orders of magnitude higher than the place, you know, that's contaminated for the sites without the tetracycline. So among these, we generally think about it like in the soil, we have a tetracycline. Then we also have antibiotic resistant genes there. So what's the relationship between these two factors? So people said, well, you know, the tetracycline will put a selective pressure on this bacteria, then develop or proliferate the antibiotic resistance. Then the question is, how this tetracycline can access the bacteria in the environment? Or, you know, in other words, how this environmental factors influence the interaction of tetracycline with microorganisms and activate within genes. That's what we want to do. So to do this, we choose one of our simple systems. We get an E. coli. On this E. coli, it has the tetra-M genes in the RNA and coupled with this green fluorescent protein. This people build up this as a bioreporter to measure some tetracyclines in the environment. We take this to use in the lab and to see how chemicals respond into this bacteria. Once tetracycline into this bacteria, it could release some green fluorescence, which is measurable. Then we think this is a bio-response. At the same time, we collect these cells and measure the tetracycline concentration in the cells using the LC-MS-MS. The purpose is to try to relate this chemical concentration to the bio-response. So here is showing some data. In the culture, we add a different concentration of tetracycline, like 20, 50, 70, 100, 125 ppb tetracycline in the culture. At the same time, we measure the tetracycline concentration in the cell. You can see this concentration increase with the concentration of these chemicals in the medium. So that's understandable. You get more tetracycline in the surrounding environment, the more tetracycline get into the cell. Then, but at the pH 8, you know the less amount of tetracycline in the cell compared to that at pH 6 and 7. So then the question is, can this cause the same bio response or the antibiotic resistance response, are there have the same issue? So the answer is yes. Then at the same time, we measure the promoter activity. This is most like the parameters response, like the expression rate of tetracycline to activate the fluorescence in the E. coli. This includes the overall processes, including like tetracycline penetration into the cell, interact with the resistant genes, then release the fluorescence. Among these steps, the penetration step is the rate limited step. So we can see that at the same situation, we saw all this like a bio response. You can think this a bio response or antibiotic resistance response. You can see this response is less at the pH 8, it's less than pH at 6 and 7. So this come out into mind is like the tetracycline chemical structure, because I'm a chemist, most of the think about the chemistry then. If you look at the tetracycline speciation, tetracycline in the water could produce the cations, sweet-ions, anions. All these anions could complex with the metals, like divalent metals, calcium, magnesium, to form complexes. Also, you can aluminum or some other heavy metals. Then, among these species, the question is which species is the most favorable species to get into the bacteria and activate the antibiotic resistance. So we conduct a series of experiments, including different pH, different type of the cations, and also different concentration, as well as different organic ligands. So we come out a summary of this study already published. I just summarized some previously our results. So what we identified is that sweethines is a species mostly favorable for most favorable for these chemicals into the bacteria. Among these species, different species will have a different effect. So for the environmental factors such as pH, cations, type, and concentration, also organic ligands, they can shift the speciation of the tetracycline species, then make the can change the bioavailability of the tetracycline. The message is like if we in the solution phase we have the same concentration of tetracycline, they will cause the different bio response. most depends on their speciation. So this could be what our results suggest, that part could get like 100 times difference, even same concentration of tetracycline in the solution phase. So our suggestion is that in the risk assessment for the select pressure of tetracycline, we suggest include this speciation model to look at the sweet ties, because this one is the most favorable species for to activate the antibiotic resistance genes. So this work published in the last year in the ESNT and Water Research, detailed there. So for this study, today I'm going to talk about how DOM influence the tetracycline bioavailability to the microorganism for activate antibiotic resistant genes. The hypothesis is that we know like the tetracycline will form complexes with DOM. Once formed, this complex, are this tetracycline still bioavailable or not? So what we did is like the tetracycline mixed with the DOM, then measure the bio response. So in this study, we measured two parameters. One is a promoter activity. As I said, that's an expression rate of antibiotic resistance. The other one is mean fluorescence intensity per cell. We use the flow cytometry to let these cells pass through the tube, then measure the fluorescence. We measured about 10,000 cells, then we'll get the average value. Then with that, you can see, look at the x-axis is the tetracycline concentration we added. Then you can see all this bio response increase with tetracycline concentration. That's about, the highest is about 200 ppb. The black bar is the DOM free control, that's here. So you can see that when we add the humic acid, then you can see all this bio response decreased. So what we'll see that all this DOM, the concentration is about 50 milligram per liter. So that's environmentally relevant. So we suggest that DOM will interact with tetracycline, then reduce the activity of tetracycline, or reduce the bioavailability of the tetracycline. So we test three humic acids that are commercially available. That's Iliad soil humic acid higher than the Pewaukee peat humic acid, then higher than Waskish peat humic acid. So you can see the decrease of the bio response. So we think this probably because the reduce could be related to the DOM interact with the tetracycline. So we measure that. This data showing that tetracycline bonded with the dissolved organic dissolved humic acids. So the tetracycline concentration is about 100 ppb at pH 7. So this is all the DOM concentration. So you can see that at the highest concentration, like Iliad soil, about 40% of this tetracycline bonded with the humic acid. So this trend is consistent with that. For example, the humic Iliad soil, which demonstrates higher affinity, highest affinity for the tetracycline. So that will cause the less bioavailable tetracycline to the bacteria. You can see the lowest here, because this humic acid strongest one interact with the tetracycline. Let's follow this trend. To further confirm this, we use Iliad soil humic acid that at different concentrations at 5, 25, and 50 milligram carbon per liter. So we see that with the DOM concentration increased, like this at a fixed tetracycline concentration. So you can see that with a higher DOM, more tetracycline will bond to the DOM, then the bio response will reduced. So it seems like to be like if tetracycline bonded with DOM, it will not become bioavailable, and the free species will be the one to cause this to become bioavailable one. So when we put this together, then we can promote activity versus the freely dissolved tetracycline, which is the amount of the tetracycline freely dissolved in the water, not bonded to the DOM. This is the control without the DOM. Suppose if that's the only species, like a free dissolved tetracycline cause that bioresponse, these all lines should be overlapped, but it's not. So you can see this Iliad humic soil that bioresponse at the same dissolved tetracycline concentration, the bioresponse is about half of that. So why does that happen? So we thought this probably because DOM absorbed on the bacteria surfaces. Then we measure the concentration of absorption of DOM by the bacteria. We found this trend. This is the interaction, but you know the same trend. Iliad soil humic acid absorbed more than the Pewaukee peat humic acid than the Waskish peat humic acid by the bacteria. As I said, for the promoter activity, it measures the overall processes of this tetracycline in the soil. If you have the DOM absorbed by the bacteria, then tetracycline will get into the penetrated the cell, then will slow down this process. Another reason is, how many minutes I need? Okay. So another reason is like this tetracycline also interacts with the dissolved organic matter. If you have a dissolved organic matter on the cell surfaces, this tetracycline, when they penetrated, they still absorb some amount of tetracycline. So these two factors contribute to the this. One is the for the DOM absorbed by the cell, it will slow down the penetration process. So that's one reason. The second reason is tetracycline still absorbed by the DOM on the surfaces. So these two factors cause the reduced of the bio response. So to further confirm this, we measured the tetracycline concentration associated with soil, associated with the cell. This included two parts. One is a tetracycline in the cell. The second part is if we have a DOM absorbed on the cell membranes, then the tetracycline will be absorbed by this DOM. So if this is the case, then at the same free dissolved tetracycline concentration, you can see that Iliad soil, for example, humic acid, the highest concentration you can measure, but that's showing the lowest bio response. The major reason is the higher absorption of a humic acid by the cell will interact with the tetracycline. This fraction of tetracycline becomes less bioavailable. So overall, even you have a high concentration associated with the cell, but less amount of tetracycline in the bacteria cell itself, so that causes less bio response. So we think about for the DOM in the solution phase, if we have a DOM, the free dissolved tetracycline is the dominant species to invoke the antibiotic resistant genes. Then a complex of tetracycline with DOM in the solution phase will decrease the bioavailability of tetracycline to the E. coli. Then also we know like the rule of the DOM absorbed on the bacteria outer membrane is could reduce the rate of the tetracycline penetration into the bacteria so that the bio response will decrease. At the same time, because the DOM on the membrane is still holds some of the tetracycline, then reduce the bio response. So with that, I'm going to stop here. And this research funded by NSF, also USDA. So I'd like to take your questions. questions if you have. Yes.
I really like the speciation part and that's the connection with the larger environment that you have in this. But I wonder about your thoughts of what's going on at the E. coli surface. I mean, the E. coli surface, each organism has these pili, which are composed of proteins, and then there's extracellular polymeric substance around mm-hmm. that. And then there are transmembrane proteins which are sticking out on the edge. All of them are going to be affected by pH as well. So I wonder if that might have an impact on penetration of tetracycline into the cell also.
Yeah, that's a good question. For this physiology issues of this cell, I think like for the, that's when this DOM could be on the surfaces, could also cover the part of this. That's a one first thought we think about that slow down the diffusing of or penetration of the tetracycline into the bacteria. For the pH and the other issues, we think because when we without the DOM, then we do the same condition, like a different pH and cations, and we didn't look at the things you are talking about, but we did come back to the literature to look at some medical people that work on this, how tetracycline into the bacteria. The model they proposed is magnesium, because the E. coli have a high content of magnesium. Magnesium complex with tetracycline, then get into the what's called the penetrate the outer membrane, then that dissociates there, then tetracycline itself then penetrated into the inner membrane. So that's a model they proposed and seems agreed well, but our data, but that is in a high concentration because the purpose there is to measure the MIC, minimal inhibitory concentration. Our study, the concentration is really low at the ppb level. Then what we found out, it seems complex will reduce the diffusing process. The neutral species or sweet ions is the one favorable for penetration of these membranes. We don't know exactly what's the process, how to pass through the out membrane and inner membrane, but all our data showing that the sweet ions is the one most favorable, probably because the property of these membranes have a lipid or so on, that's favorable for the neutral species. That is our guess.